Hello there. Get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade. Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer, is brought to you each weekday by Procter & Gamble, the makers of new Sure Mix Crisco.
What's that, Marion? Another pie you made today?
Uh-huh. It's got peaches and huckleberries in it, Grandma.
Oh, Marion, you're spoiling that husband of yours. Why, just the other day you fixed a lovely lemon meringue pie.
Oh, I know, but... Well, he likes my pie so much.
Well, I can't say as I blame him. I do, too. My... This one looks mighty tempting. Lovely brown crust, flaky, too.
Well, tough pie crusts aren't one of my worries. It's so easy to make them turn out flaky and tender with that new shortening I've been using.
Your new shortening?
Yes, Sure Mix Crisco.
Oh, you mean this?
You see, Grandma, Crisco's a different kind of shortening.
Oh, well, what's so different about it?
Why, the special way it's made. The Crisco people say no other shortening is made with this new process Crisco has.
Oh.
I found out how different Crisco was when I started using it for cakes.
Well.
Why, Grandma, Crisco gives me lighter cakes. Actually, lighter cakes than any other shortening I know of.
Sounds different, all right.
Oh, it is. And I figured if Crisco's so wonderful for cakes, I'd just try it for pies, too. And you see what wonderful pastry I get.
Right you are, Marion. With Crisco, it's a cinch to make wonderful pie crusts. For one thing, Crisco's so much creamier now. It cuts into your flour in practically no time. And just think, when you use Crisco, you don't get the strong shortening taste that spoils so many good pie crusts. That's because Crisco's pure and all vegetable. Crisco's digestible, too. It turns out grand pies everybody can safely enjoy. Why, when a question was sent to doctors by a leading medical publication, 2 out of every 3 doctors who replied specifically called attention to Crisco's digestibility. So get Crisco today. See how easy it is to make tender, flaky pastry with Crisco. Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we approach the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here, walking along the alley towards home, we see Mr. Rush Gook. The young man has just finished an intensive session of baseball in Tatman's vacant lot. He quickens his pace now because he discerns a familiar figure on the back porch. Listen.
Hi there.
Hello, Rush.
Is anybody home?
Five. Glorious day.
Yeah. Isn't anybody home?
Five. I guess nobody's home.
Mom's downtown shopping with Miss Stembottom, I think.
Yeah, that's about the size of it. No, I only been sitting here about 5 minutes.
Like to come in the house?
Very pleasant out here, Rush.
Yes, it is.
Take a seat. I'll move over.
Okay. Is this your box?
Uh-huh. Box of mementos and souvenirs Sam Eicher sent me down from Dixon.
Oh, sure. I remember you mentioning them. You want Mom to find space for them in the house someplace.
That's right. Well, this half-wit box can be stuck down in the basement or up in the attic or chucked back in the corner of a clothes closet.
Uh-huh.
It's just junk and trash, but stuff a fella hates to throw away.
Yeah.
Got a truck full of junk and trash, too, at home I'll bring over tomorrow, next day.
Maybe you better consult Mom about it first.
Fine. No, she can throw her half-wit trunk in any old corner.
The reason I say you better consult Mom first, Uncle Fletcher, is because I heard her remark in the Gov we haven't got any extra storage space around here.
Uh-huh.
I even wonder if she'll be able to find room for this box.
She can toss it behind the cellar steps if she wants to.
There's a pile of stuff a mile high underneath the cellar steps already.
Fine. Care to look at some of these souvenirs and mementos, Rush?
I'd like to. You didn't lug this big box all the way from Miss Keller's house on your back, did you?
I brought it over in Gumbox's garbage wagon.
Oh.
Tomorrow or the next day, I'll get him to haul the trunk.
I think you better talk with Mom about that.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm almost certain she'll say she can't.
Now, here's a picture I told you about the other day.
Oh, uh-huh. Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill on his Indian pony.
It's a gaudy picture, ain't it?
Enough different colors to choke a horse.
Yeah.
Green, blue, purple, red.
Black, orange, yellow.
What color is this here?
Tan, I guess.
Uh-huh. I watched the fella paint this picture, Rush.
Yeah, you told us about it.
Grundy County Fair, year 1904. $2 it cost. You paid your $2, and the fella sat down and splotched out your half-wit picture right on the spot.
Hmm.
Hey, Sadie may want to hang this up someplace.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's an interesting memento.
Razor strap?
Man, to give me this razor strap, Rush, claimed it had been used at one time to flog Orville J. McWilliams.
Really?
When Orville J. McWilliams was a little boy.
Hmm.
You know who Orville J. McWilliams was, don't you?
No.
Teachers never taught you about Orville J. McWilliams in school?
I don't place the name.
Likely you were sick this day the pupil studied about Orville J. McWilliams.
Maybe. Who was he?
Explorer, discoverer.
What did he explore and discover?
Slathers of stuff. Every morning at 6 o'clock, he'd leave the house and go explore and discover some half-wit business.
Well, what?
Explored and discovered the Mississippi River, didn't he?
Gee, I don't think so. Seems to me DeSoto was the fella done that.
George DeSoto?
I don't remember his first name.
Fine. Well, anyway, Orville J. McWilliams never took a backseat to anybody when it come to exploring and discovering junk.
Mm-hmm.
Only man in the exploring and discovering business that wore a derby hat.
Yeah?
All the rest of them wore duck hunter's caps. Sherlock Holmes kind of lid, you know, a bill down the back and a bill down the front.
Uh-huh.
Orville J. McWilliams wore a derby.
Hmm.
The way the story goes, he went fishing without his papa's permission when he was a little boy. His papa took this razor strap and flogged him.
Huh.
I once made the acquaintance of a great-grandson of Orville J. McWilliams, a fellow going under the name of Spies, Harry Spies. Dead now. At the time I met him, he was working on the section gang on the Chicago and Alton Railroad out of Gardner, Illinois. Wore a heavy overcoat winter and summer. Reached almost to the ground and had a fur collar on it. Didn't see him out on the track driving spikes with the thermometer 95 degrees in the shade. He said to him, "Harry, ain't that overcoat warm? I like to be comfortable," he'd tell you. I suppose he was comfortable. He'd taken it off.
Huh.
Great-grandson of Orville J. McWilliams, a famous explorer and discoverer.
Uh-huh.
Never heard of Orville J. McWilliams, huh?
No, I'm pretty sure I haven't.
Likely you were sick the day the scholars in school studied about him.
Uh-huh.
His father flogged him with this razor strap for going fishing. The fellow that gave me the razor strap was Fred Yeabuckle. I believe Sadie knew Fred Yeabuckle. She ever mentioned him?
Not that I remember.
Fred Yeabuckle. Married a woman 42 years old.
How old was he?
46. But you never saw a business like this before.
What is it?
Nobody knows.
Well, what's it for?
Nobody knows.
Looks kind of like a can opener.
Yes, it does. Looks kind of like a can opener. But whether it's a can opener or not, nobody knows.
Where'd you get it?
Archie Williams and his brother Pete gave to me after Archie passed away. Archie was an inventor, see? He invented this contraption and died before he had an opportunity to tell his family what it was supposed to be.
Hmm.
You can't open cans with it. You can't play music with it. You can't do anything with it. Still, although it's a memento a fellow don't like to throw away.
Hmm.
This will surprise you.
Rock?
Rock, I picked up one Sunday afternoon on the bank of the Fox River near St. Charles. Heft it once.
Huh?
Take a good tight hold. It'll fool you.
Heavy.
Heavy as a half-wit whore.
I'll say.
You wouldn't think a little rock like that weighs so much, would you?
Uh-uh.
Drop it once. Heavy as a half-wit whore.
Yeah.
No, I picked up that rock one Sunday afternoon when I was strolling along the Fox River with Harry Beat. Harry Veep lives in Winona, Minnesota now.
Bet he married a woman 59 years old.
What?
I say, I bet he married a woman 59 years old.
Harry Veep? Harry Veep married a woman 20 years old, by George.
How old was Harry?
25.
Hmm?
Married Bubba Rutcher. They live in Winona, Minnesota now. Got a Christmas card from them the year before last.
Hmm?
Here's a souvenir someplace. I forget where it was now.
Shoehorn, huh?
Yeah. Where did I get this shoehorn?
Oh.
What am I saving it for?
I don't know.
I got it someplace, and I'm saving it for supper. Well, let it go. It'll probably come to mind sometime or other.
It's got printing on it.
Has it?
W.J. Morrison and Son. Fine footwear for all the family. Boone, Iowa.
Fine.
Maybe you got it in Boone, Iowa.
I never been in Boone, Iowa.
No?
Never. I've been to Cedar Rapids, I've been to Ottumwa, I've been to Sioux City, and I've been to Des Moines, but not Boone.
Mm.
No, sir.
Huh?
Ask your mother when she gets home. She'll tell you. Huh? She'll tell you I've never been to Boone, Iowa, and she won't blink an eye. Huh? Here's a framed picture of some half-wit. I can't recall who he is.
Plenty ball-headed, ain't he?
Yes, indeed. Might be some relation to my landlady's. She's got relations with a bushel. Spread all over the country, too. Maine, Massachusetts, Kentucky, Ohio, all them states.
New York, North Carolina, Wyoming, Texas.
All them states. Tennessee.
Michigan, Montana, Utah, Maryland.
All them states. Oh, I don't know who this half-wit is. Tell you what, Rush. Maybe your mother'd find it more convenient to distribute these souvenirs and mementos around the house. A place to keep them in this box.
How you mean?
Fine.
I didn't quite understand.
See, this is a pretty bulky box. Takes up considerable space.
Yeah.
Sadie, you might rather empty the box and tuck the different souvenirs and mementos in separate places. This picture, for instance, she could keep in her dresser drawer. This rock could be hid away in a bookcase. Shoehorn in the library table. Same way with the junk and trash in the trunk I'll bring over tomorrow, next day.
I think you better discuss it with Mom.
Fine. Oh, she might like to distribute an arrangement a good deal better.
About that trunk, Uncle Fletcher, I think I can tell you, Mommy hasn't got an extra inch of space.
Here, by George.
Sleeve garters?
Dead sleeve garters. I got no more elastic in them than a rabbit. One of them sleeve garters and a bet. Oscar Slavers, fellow there in Belvedere, bet me a pair of sleeve garters he could crack a walnut with his teeth. Chewed and bit and choked and sweat for an hour and a half. Never phased the walnut. These are those sleeve garters.
Hmm.
Oscar Slavers. Didn't have sense enough to stay out in the rain. Married a woman 34 years old.
How old is he?
36. Here's a bicycle pants clip.
Huh?
Button off a policeman's uniform.
Hmm.
Another picture of some half-wit. I can't place who he is.
Hmm.
Relation to Miss Cullors, likely. She's got relations all over the Union. Pennsylvania, Oregon, Delaware, Washington, all them different states.
South Carolina, Vermont, North Dakota, Louisiana.
All them states. Arkansas.
Florida, New Hampshire, Arizona.
All them states.
This rock interests me. It's so little and yet so heavy.
Uh-huh. Picked up that rock one Sunday afternoon while I was strolling along the Fox River. Harry Veep was with me.
Darn rock weighs a ton.
Drop it once.
Flamedest rock I ever saw.
Uh-huh. No junk like this is just trash, not worth a dime, but the fella hates to part with it.
Uh-huh.
Fog collects souvenirs and mementos. And
hey, here comes Mom up the alley.
Yeah. Probably she'll want me to bring my box in the house and shove it under the Davenport or someplace.
Oh.
Clothes closet, cellar, attic, I don't care.
Oh.
Here's a watch fob Hobart Anderson gave me for Christmas 20 years ago.
Huh.
Hobart Anderson. Married a woman 41 years old.
How old was he?
47. Hello, Sadie!
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Vic and Sade until the next time. Boy, when it comes right down to good eating, I don't think you can beat fried chicken. Chicken that's been fried all golden brown and so crisp it fairly crackles when you bite into it. Man, oh man, that's food. Of course, I always like to have my chicken fried the Crisco way, because then I know it's digestible. Did you know that foods fried in pure, all-vegetable Crisco were digestible? Well, that's the truth. Why, in answer to a question sent doctors by a leading medical publication, 2 out of every 3 doctors who replied specifically called attention to Crisco's digestibility. And say, there's no worry about fried foods turning out heavy or greasy. I should say not. With this fresh, snowy white Crisco, chicken and fritters and all your fried foods turn out crispy and light and delicious. So why not get Crisco today? It costs only a few pennies a week for all your frying. Just see what a wonderful difference a pure, all-vegetable shortening can make in your fried foods. And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Save the next time. This is Paul Luther speaking.